Vasa katichil masani gopinam vanudan sucha krishna lila katha gayam ramayam ashagokulam. Uddhava remained there for several months, dispelling the gopi's sorrow by chanting the topics of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Thus he brought joy to all the people of Gokul. Purport. The great Acharya Jiva Goswami comments in this regard that Uddhava, during his stay in Vrindavan, certainly took special care to enliven Krishna's foster parents, Nanda and Yashoda. Yavantyahani Nandasya Brajevatsit sa Uddhava Virjokasham Krishna Prayani Asan Krishna Syavarataya. All the days that Uddhava dwelled in Nanda's cowherd village seemed like a single moment for the residents of Braja, for Uddhava was always discussing Krishna. Saridvana giri dronir vikshan kushumithan druman krishnam samsmarayan reme harido daso brajokasham. The servants of Lord Hari, seeing the forests, rivers, mountains, valleys, and flowering trees of Braja, enjoyed inspiring the inhabitants of Vrindavan by reminding them of Lord Krishna. Srila Sridhar Swami points out that as Uddhava wandered about Vrindavan, he reminded Braja's residents of Krishna by asking them questions about the pastimes that the Lord had performed in each of these places, namely the rivers, forests, mountains, and valleys. Thus Uddhava enjoyed great transcendental bliss in their association. Om Avyanti Nirandasya Yananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmaya Sri Guru Vena Vanshakalpataru Vyascha Kripasin Rubya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Srila Shukadeva Goswami is here and giving us such a beautiful description of how it was that Uddhava sought to give pleasure, satisfaction to the residents of Vrindavan. So much was revealed to Uddhava. The highest truths of the topmost subject matter of all religion and of all scriptures have been revealed to Uddhava. The pure spontaneous and ecstatic love of the Brijavasis, and especially the supreme most perfection and source of all love of Sri Radharani. It was all witnessed and given to Uddhava. But we find that it was given in reciprocation to his own humble consciousness. And what is that consciousness? That he came to Vrindavan for only one purpose, and that was to give pleasure to all the Brijbasis, to give relief to them on the order of Lord Krishna. In the same way, we should know that great personalities, within their hearts, is the treasure of love of God. Such Krishna prema cannot be understood by study of any amount of scriptures, by the memorization of any number of slokas, even by the performance of terrible austerities, by performing sadhana, vaidhi bhakti, with great care and attention. But it is by pleasing the great devotees of the Lord, by satisfying them, that we satisfy Krishna. And by satisfying Krishna through the process of satisfying his devotees, he reveals the greatest of all blessings of the truth of Krishna prema, love of Krishna. And there is no other way. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Pai Chekeva. Narottam Das Thakur has explained that no one in all history has ever obtained Krishna consciousness, love of Krishna, without serving and pleasing the great Vaishnavas. Because to serve on the path of bhakti means to please. It is not simply a mechanical process. At the beginning, we may just do our particular bhajan or seva in a mechanical way, because it has to be done. But it should be our aspiration, and it should be a growing aspiration, that we perform our seva with the motivation and the attitude of pleasing the great Vaishnavas. Because when they are pleased, then Krishna is pleased. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kuto. And then only is this knowledge revealed to us. We read in the life of Lokanath Goswami how he was such a humble saint. He was living in Vrindavan, a very secluded life. At a particular time when he was becoming quite old, he was living near the bank of Jamuna, in a place that is now at the exact place where his bhajan kutir was, now his samadhi is standing at Sri Radha Gokula Ananda Mandir. And he made a vow that he would not accept disciples, because he considered himself to follow. And after the disappearance of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then his two dearmost friends, Rupa Goswami Srila Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. He was so much in the pangs of separation of the Vaishnavas that it was unbearable for him to even consider anything in his life but just crying while chanting the holy name of Krishna and Sri Radharani. But Sri Narottam Das Thakur understood that it was the will of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he accept him as his spiritual master. So he requested Lokanath. But Lokanath, he told Narottam, it is not possible. It cannot be done. There are so many great Vaishnavas here in Vrindavan. Raghunath Das Goswami is here. Jiva Goswami is here. Kaviraj Goswami is here. So many great Vaishnavas. Why are you coming to me? And Narottam told him that he had already accepted him in the core of his heart and that nothing could change that. Any more than a chaste wife cannot accept anyone else as their, for the husband. Anyways, Lokanath refused. But then Narottam Das Thakur, so humble he was that he did not want to disturb his guru's mind by presenting this request again and again. So whether he initiates me or doesn't initiate me, that is in Krishna's hands. But at least I must serve him and please him. And Lokanath was in such a state of humility that he would not accept service from anyone. He wanted to serve, but he would not take any service. So how would Narottam serve? He had to do it secretly. Lokanath would go to the, Goswamiji would go to the bank of Jamuna to perform his duties of responding to nature. And Narottam Das Thakur, in the night, when everyone was not anywhere around, he would secretly go to that place and he would very, very carefully wash it with his own hands, clean it meticulously, not expecting any credit for his seva. Not even expecting that anyone would ever know what he had done or who had done it. But he felt that Lokanath would be pleased. Even if he doesn't know it's me, he will be pleased that this area is very clean. Lokanath Goswami, he was wondering, who is doing this? Throughout the day, I see no one. How is this happening? So he personally hid it secretly in the bushes that night, just to see. And there he saw Narottam completely unassuming, just wanting to do seva for the pleasure of a Vaishnava. How carefully he cleaned that dirty place. And Lokanath Goswami, he said, Narottam, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? This is below you. You are a prince. You are the son of Krishnananda Dutt, who is a king. You are the only son of a great, wealthy, powerful king. You should not be doing this work, which is unfit. Cleaning every day the stool and urine of another? Narottam Das, he explained to Lokanath Goswami that this is the highest service. Service to a Vaishnava is the highest thing. Being a great prince or a great king is not a high service, but pleasing Krishna and his devotees is the highest service. And the greatest wealth can only come through such humility. So Lokanath Goswami's heart became very soft. He began to cry to see the humble desire of Narottam to simply please him and serve him. And ultimately, of course, he gave him initiation, but gave to no one else in his whole life. So from this story and countless others, we find how the key and secret to unlocking that great treasure of Krishna Prema from the heart of Krishna and his devotees is to please his devotees. Then only everything is revealed. And that is why in our sampradaya of great acharyas, the utmost emphasis is on seva, Harinam and Vaishnav seva. Simply by trying to imagine and study the Rasika Shastras, the Shastras describing the Madhurya Rasa Braj Bhumi, we can read it, we can memorize it, we can discuss it in very eloquent terms amongst each other, but Krishna will never reveal within our hearts the true meaning of any of these subjects. But if we simply please the Vaishnavas, if we simply serve them, if we simply try to make them happy, try to relieve them of their distress, Krishna will reveal everything. Nara Haridas Thakur, he was an untouchable by caste. But he had such a burning desire to please Lord Chaitanya, to relieve him of his distress. Mahaprabhu was in distress, not for anything of his own, but he was in distress to see the fallen, suffering condition of all of his parts and parcels. He expressed it to Thakur Haridas that these living entities who are all eternally part of Krishna, see how in this Kali Yuga their lives are being wasted in material enjoyment and so many attachments. How to give them love of God? They have no inclination for love of God. This is creating great pain in my heart, because they are suffering birth and death repeatedly. And Haridas saw that Mahaprabhu was actually suffering to see this. Paradukaduki. Here is the source of all bliss. Rasaraj, Atmaram, the thoroughly self-satisfied reservoir of all pleasure. But out of the nature of his love and mercy, he suffers to see the pains of others in forgetfulness of Krishna. So So Haridas began to speak to Mahaprabhu that because you have come to spread the holy name of Krishna, all those fortunate people who have that connection to you will all be liberated from all this suffering and attain your eternal abode. And not only did he speak this, but he acted. He was beaten in 22 marketplaces. He was sentenced to death. And he was told that we will let you free and let you live a peaceful, comfortable life. Just stop preaching this Hari Kirtan to the masses of people. And Haridas Thakur replied that you can beat me, you can torture me, you can kill me, you can cut me into pieces, but you can never get me to stop spreading the holy name around, because that pleases Krishna and his devotees. And that's one thing you cannot take away from me. Death will come before I stop this preaching of Hari Kirtan. Because he knew this is how he could please the Lord and please his devotees. And therefore, Mahaprabhu empowered him. Although he was not an educated person, he was not an aristocratic person, his only qualification was he was willing to give anything, including his very life, as a sacrifice to please the Lord and his devotees. And he was made Namacharya. He was empowered to do the greatest seva. Sadhya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paichikara. All these high realizations and empowered states of consciousness come to that humble devotee who simply wants to please the Vaishnavas. And here we find, to the highest and sweetest degree, that this is taking place with Uddhava. That Krishna felt compassion for the residents of Vrindavan because he had left them for Mathura. He promised them that he would be returning the day after tomorrow. But he did not return. And Krishna, who is the Lord within the heart of everyone, could understand the pangs of separation of the Brijvasis. So he sent Uddhava to perform the seva of pleasing his devotees. And Uddhava dedicated his life to carrying out the will of the Lord in the form of pleasing devotees. And how much he pleased them. Sometimes they were crying. Sometimes Nanda Maharaj was chastising him for being so impudent to think that he was fortunate, Nanda, when he considered himself the most unfortunate. Sri Radharani and the gopis, they were also, in so many ways, chastising him. But all the while, he understood that this is what is required to serve them, to please them, and to please my Lord. Let it be. And he remained in Vrindavan for 3 months. And throughout that entire 3 months, he was always discussing Krishna. And therefore, to the residents of Vrindavan, it brought them such joy, such transcendental ecstasy, that 3 months seemed like a single moment. How he pleased the devotees? By just reminding them of Krishna. This, in fact, is the greatest way we can please the devotees. And it is the greatest way we can please the hearts of all jivatmas. By just reminding them of Krishna. And how to remind one another of Krishna? Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. In Chaitanya Lila, we find how the intimate association of the Vaishnavas was so pleasing to one another, ultimately so pleasing to the Lord, because they all came together only for one purpose, to remember Krishna. They would sit together and discuss Hari Kirtan, Hari Katha. Just like this morning, we are all coming together to hear the beautiful Bhagavat, to discuss the beautiful Bhagavat. We are not doing this as a ritual. We are not simply doing it because it is a schedule. We are doing this to please the Vaishnavas. Whoever's speaking, he should be speaking only to please the audience. By speaking the unadulterated truth of Krishna Katha, he's doing it as a service for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas and the pleasure of the Lord. And those who come to listen, they are coming to stay awake and be attentive and hear submissively, because this is the order of Gurudev. And to please him, we must come and hear Bhagavad philosophy. It is one of the five most essential subjects or rules of Vaishnava philosophy, according to Rupa Goswami, to hear Bhagavatam daily. We're coming to please our Gurudev, to please whatever Vaishnava happens to be speaking, to please all the other devotees around by our example of attentiveness, and ultimately to please the Lord of our heart. Nast srinvatam sukata krishna punya sravana kirtana hridyantasto vibhadrani vidunoti suritsitam nast praishu bhadreshu nityam bhagavati seva. Krishna, it is said that when Krishna sees from within our heart that we have this anxiousness to hear his katha, he becomes very pleased and he removes all anarthas and reveals himself. So Uddhava is setting the highest, most sublime example of how to please the devotees by reminding them of Krishna. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this beautiful process of Sankirtan, where we come together to please Gurudev by following this top instruction, by pleasing the Vaishnavas by our enthusiasm as we congregationally come together to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And throughout the day, whatever we do, our motivation and goal should be to do it in such a way that it will please the Lord's devotees. And by truly satisfying them, only then will they reveal the truth to us. Pariprashnena sevaya. Inquire submissively and render service for the pleasure of the great souls. Only then will they reveal the truth to your heart. Otherwise, the so-called information we get is superficial, external. It may appear to be the truth in form, but in essence and spirit, it is far away. The truth is revealed by the great souls when they are pleased with our humble service. So because Uddhava pleased the Vrijabhasis by simply discussing Krishna Katha for 3 months, the Vrijabhasis revealed to Uddhava the highest level of spiritual consciousness. And when Uddhava returns to Mathura to explain to Lord Krishna what he has seen, you sent me to Vrindavan under the illusion that I was going to give something to the Brijvasis, but I gave them something so small,
but they gave me something so great.
And Krishna, he explains elsewhere to Uddhava, Mad Bhakta Puja Vyadika, that to worship my devotees, to please my devotees, is the greatest offering to me. He told Uddhava that even Brahma, Shiva, Balaram, and Lakshmi, they are not so dear to me, Uddhava, as you, because you are my surrendered devotee. Because you have given your life in my loving service. But Uddhava, upon receiving the blessings of the Brijbasis, although in such an exalted position, as Krishna has just explained, he prayed to be a blade of grass. And he even performed tapasya to be a blade of grass in Brajbhumi, so that the Braj gopis may someday step upon him and leave the dust of their feet on his head. So by pleasing the Brijbasis and the servants of the Brijbasis, that is the supreme religion. It is the supreme path of transcendental consciousness. It is the only means of understanding Krishna Prema. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudulabha prasantatma kotishupi mahamune. To attain liberation is not a very important accomplishment. Mukti is not something very great. So many people have attained mukti. And to attain great powers, to attain siddhis, ability to perform great miracles and demonstrate inconceivable, supernatural feats, is not a very impressive accomplishment. But Narayana Parayana, to attain pure devotion to the Supreme Lord Krishna, is so rare. Because one who attains such devotion, who is given such devotion, the Supreme Master of all mysteries, Mukunda, the giver of all liberation, becomes subordinate to that love. And that love of Krishna can be attained by no other means but pleasing his devotees and receiving their blessings. Ishwara Puri, also through his menial service to Madhavendra Puri of cleaning the urine and stool of his body when he was leaving this world, he got his blessings. Those blessings are not easy to receive. And through that blessing, he was given the highest levels of love of God and the empowerment to even be the guru for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is what we must be seeking in our life, this humble service. And then everything is revealed to us by the grace of the great Vaishnavas. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, by pleasing some devotees, we may even displease the others also. How to avoid that?
We must not think that pleasing devotees is just something very sentimental. pleasing the devotees, it must be based on Shastra, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And that is why we require the guidance of Gurudev to understand the proper process of truly pleasing the devotees. Because sometimes amongst neophyte devotees, if we give them what they need, they're displeased. They want to enjoy sense enjoyment. They don't want to surrender. So sometimes it's pleasing to their souls and their hearts, but it's very displeasing to their minds and senses. So we must understand in truth, with proper philosophical conviction, what is it that really pleases a devotee? And we need spiritual guidance. We do not know how to please Vaishnavas. We do not know how to please Krishna. We need to be trained in this process. And we must follow those directions with the aspiration to please them. When Narottam Thakur was doing this seva for Lokanath, in one sense he was displeasing. But internally Lokanath was so exceptionally pleased. So the simple way of pleasing is we must approach advanced devotees and we must ask them, how can I serve you? And without speculation or interpretation, we simply do it. In our neophyte condition, this is the best way to please the great souls. To just do it. And to understand that however much time and energy I have in my life, let me do more and more and more and more to please the great souls. In a practical day-to-day level, when you say, in pleasing one devotee, you displease another, we must know that we are trying to please all devotees, and what we are doing is under proper guidance and in pursuance of the truth. Any other questions?
Maharaj, when we've been told that we have to aspire to be the servant of the servant of the servant, so when you aspire to be that, somebody gives us some service, it must happen that, you know, there may be two, three of them giving services, so we may not know which one and whom to please and how to go about it.
You try your best to please everyone, but you have to know what is your service. Better to perform one's own duty, even imperfectly, than another's perfectly. What is your service? If by trying to satisfy the sentiments of everybody else, you neglect the service that's been given to you, then you're missing the root of the tree. You may be trying putting water on all the branches and twigs, but you're missing the root. You must understand what is your service. And you must do that with your heart and soul. And not neglect it. But whatever time you have, you try to serve all Vaishnavas in whatever way. But if you have a project, and 10 other devotees want you to assist them in their project, you have to give your life to the project that your Gurudev has given to you. And you do it for the pleasure of Gurudev and all Vaishnavas. And whatever spare time you can acquire through giving up perhaps even eating or sleeping to help these other devotees without neglecting your own service, then you do it. That is very good.
When you are given a particular service, it must so happen that your physical condition may not be to that level where you can perform that service, or sometimes there may be some physical inconveniences or some...
What does service mean? Service doesn't mean a physical activity. Service is a state of consciousness. Bhakti is an offering of one's heart, an offering of one's life. Hanuman was far more physically fit than the squirrel during the building of the bridge over the ocean to Sri Lanka. Hanuman was carrying huge mountaintops and floating in them on the water. And the squirrel was kicking dust petals. And Hanuman had this idea that I am so physically fit and you, squirrel, are so physically useless. Stand out of my way. And Lord Sri Ramchandra replied to Hanuman that he is doing every bit as much as you. His kicking of a dust particle and a grain of sand is as pleasing to me as your bringing mountaintops, because you are both offering your hearts and doing the best you can for my pleasure. There is no question of being fit or unfit for devotional service by any physical criteria. It's simply our desire to please that makes us fit or unfit. One person may be doing great, great, great seva to the eyes of men, but his motive is pride and prestige. And another person may be very old and sickly and hardly able to do anything, but doing the best he can with a humble heart. That devotee is doing far more in the eyes of God. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us about when he was living at Radha Damodar. One very, very old lady, very poor lady, she would just come every day with little Jamuna water and some flowers. Not store-bought flowers. It's simply our desire to please that makes us fit or unfit. One person may be doing great, great, great seva to the eyes of men, but his motive is pride and prestige. And another person may be very old and sickly and hardly able to do anything, but doing the best he can with a humble heart. That devotee is doing far more in the eyes of God. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us about when he was living at Radha Damodar. One very, very old lady, very poor lady, she would just come every day with little Jamuna water and some flowers. Not store-bought flowers, but just some flowers she would find in the bushes. And she would just bring that little bucket of Jamuna water, although it took her so long just to carry it because she was so old and unfit. And she would every day just bring, for the pleasure of Radha Damodar, little water and a little, some leaves. And Srila Prabhupada said, she's going back to Godhead, no doubt. Because although she's so poor, and she's so physically weak and incapacitated, but every day she does this service with such attention and faith. That little bucket of Jamuna water being brought by this old lady was more pleasing to the Lord than many big, big wealthy people constructing massive marble temples to install the deity. Because she simply wanted to please Krishna and was doing everything she could to please Krishna. Yes.
Is too much enthusiasm good or bad in Krishna's service?
How can you have too much enthusiasm? It depends how you define too much enthusiasm. If too much enthusiasm means that you're following your own mental concoctions in the name of trying to serve and please Krishna, then it's not good. You cannot have too much enthusiasm if your enthusiasm is rightly properly directed. If we understand the proper process of pleasing Krishna and pleasing his devotees, then you cannot have too much enthusiasm. But if our enthusiasm, we get so carried away that we do so many things that are not pleasing to Krishna and his devotees, that is not a question of too much enthusiasm. You cannot have too much enthusiasm, but you can misdirect your enthusiasm on the basis of our own emotional desires, that we want to do something in a particular way that we The problem is that our desire and is not being properly directed. And when your desire is not being properly directed, the more enthusiastically you do it, the more trouble you get into. Correct? If somebody wants to do something that's not right, but's lazy, he doesn't cause much disturbance. But if somebody wants to do something that's not right, that is what I want, but not what the Vaishnavas want, not what Guru and Krishna wants, and we're enthusiastic to do that, then we create too much chaos. But if we understand clearly what Gurudev wants, what Vaishnavas want, what Krishna wants, then the more enthusiasm you have, the more you will become effulgent with Krishna's blessings. Yes? So we have to be humble. We shouldn't think that we know. We shouldn't be enthusiastic to perform what we want to do. We should be enthusiastic to perform what will please the great souls. Pariprasnena sevaya. So we must inquire submissively. Then we must render that service with great enthusiasm.
By authorities.
Hmm?
Whatever services we try to do, we first take sanction from the authorities and then go ahead with it. And then as Krishna inspires us from within, we try to do our best. So.
Yes. But you must understand that how Krishna inspires you from within may be misconceived from how my false ego is inspiring me from within. That is a danger. Therefore, we must very humbly try to understand how to best serve, and if there is some correction, we must simply accept it. We should not think people are interfering with my service. We should simply accept, yes, I have not been doing it properly. This is the way. We cannot be attached to how Krishna is inspiring me within. That is a very advanced platform. We have to be attached to pleasing those who we are doing it for. And that comes by hearing submissively.
And if we are sincere, Krishna will no doubt inspire us from within to do more and more and better and better. But we must be very careful to really strive to work under the instruction that we're given.
Sometimes we have no intentions absolutely at all to displease any Vaishnava. But if the Vaishnava takes it as offensive, how to go about it?
First of all, you have to calculate whether you have done it properly. Even though you may have the desire to please, you may still be making many mistakes and doing many things that are not right. And if that is true, we must rectify ourselves and beg forgiveness from those devotees. But if we are honestly and sincerely trying to do our service and doing it according to how we have been instructed, and still some Vaishnava is displeased, we should just take that as our purification and continue on. Krishna may not want you to get proud and puffed up to think you're such a great soul. So he may send some nice devotee to tell you you're a rascal. And first thing we must do is check to see whether we are a rascal. Am I doing things right? Rather than arguing, saying, no, no, this is right. Really check. There might be something you're doing wrong. And if you're really doing everything the way you should, then you just have to accept, yes, Krishna's sending this mercy to me to purify my heart. How nice. Let me go on with my service.